Welcome to the debate. So when we look at a patient monitor in the intensive care unit, the numbers glow green, right? The blood pressure reads, you know, 120 over 80, and we think we're safe.
Yeah, we assume that because the numbers are stable, the patient must be stable.
Exactly. But underneath that surface, the system might be completely hollowing out from the inside.
Well, we love those lagging variables, I mean, because they give us this really comforting binary. You know, you are either in the acceptable range or you aren't.
Right. It's just incredibly soothing to view the world that way, neatly contained within these visible thresholds.
It is. But today we are examining a proposed, it's called a viability grammar, drawn from our source material, and it challenges that exact comfort.
Yeah, quite aggressively, actually. It really does. This text proposes a framework that shifts our focus entirely away from monitoring those, you know, isolated, lagging variables. And instead, it attempts to map the mathematical and geometric coherence of the relationships hidden within a system.
Right.
And I take the position that this formalized geometric grammar utilizing concepts like triadic channels and non-associative mathematics is basically a necessary universal tool. We need it to predict systemic collapse before it actually happens.
And, well, I take the opposing view. I mean, formalizing the chaotic, totally unpredictable reality of biology and sociology into these rigid mathematical symmetries, it creates a dangerous new illusion of basically over-formalized predictability.
Let's start with why we desperately need this shift in perspective, though. Our current diagnostic paradigm across, like, almost all disciplines is fundamentally flawed because it relies on looking at the exhaust pipe to see if the engine is running.
Right, yeah.
We measure heart rate or gross domestic product or, I don't know, nutrient concentrations in a coastal basin. But the source material introduces this really brilliant concept called the illusion of stability curve.
Oh, right. The idea that a system can look perfectly fine while it's actually just dying.
Exactly. The curve demonstrates how a system can appear completely stable on the surface while its internal relational capacity to absorb a disturbance is just steadily eroding.
Yeah.
By the time the GDP actually drops or the blood pressure plummets, it is entirely too late. Like, the collapse is already mathematically locked in.
Which is terrifying, sure.
Totally. So to solve this, the text proposes we look at seven underlying premanents: constraints, margins, state, disturbances, perception, regulation, and options.
Right. The seven primitives.
Yeah. And by organizing these seven primitives into geometric triadic channels, basically these three-way relational loops, we establish a proactive language. We stop looking at the state of isolated parts, you know, and we start mapping the geometry of viability itself.
Okay, so I come at it from a different way, though I really don't disagree with your fundamental premise.
Okay.
Linear variable-based monitoring is, frankly, completely insufficient. I mean, any experienced practitioner knows that failure is relational long before it is numerical.
Exactly.
But where we diverge is on the proposed cure. The framework demands that we map these seven primitives onto highly advanced mathematical structures. We're talking about things like quaternions, octonions, the Fano plane, and ultimately, exceptional Lie groups like E8.
Which provides the exact rigor we are missing.
But it imposes an idealized symmetrical order on systems that are, by definition, inherently messy and path-dependent.
Well,
I mean, biological and socioeconomic networks do not behave like theoretical physics. They rarely conform to perfect geometric symmetries or neat little triadic boundaries. My concern here is that treating these exceptional mathematical constructs as literal diagnostic tools, it obscures the true nature of complex system collapse.
I wouldn't say it obscures it.
The map is not the territory, and we just cannot afford to confuse elegant math with the unpredictable reality of living, breathing systems.
Look, let's ground this in the real world, because this measurement problem isn't just academic. It's a matter of life and death. Let's look closely at the ICU patient example from the text.
Okay, sure.
So a patient is maintaining a perfectly stable blood pressure. As we said, the monitor is green. But underneath that surface stability, perfusion, which is, you know, the actual delivery of oxygen to the tissues, is critically degrading.
Right.
The body is desperately clamping down its vascular tone, sacrificing everything else just to maintain that pressure constraint. If we only look at the variable of blood pressure, we think we are fine.
Until we're very much not fine.
Exactly. The viability grammar solves this by shifting our focus to the system's margins and constraints. It isn't asking us to invent a magical new variable. It is asking us to measure the distance to failure. Like how much adaptive capacity, how much margin is actually left before that vascular constraint is totally violated.
I'm sorry, but I just don't buy that. Let me tell you why.
Okay.
The theory sounds flawless in a textbook, right? But put yourself in the shoes of a practitioner actually standing at that patient's bedside. The text explicitly states that coherence is an emergent property.
Yes.
It literally says it cannot be directly measured by any single variable. So if this relational coherence is technically invisible, how does an ICU doctor definitively spot these subtle shifts in relationships?
Well, they look at...
How do you actually measure a shrinking margin without ultimately defaulting back to a standard variable threshold like checking lactic acid levels to see if tissues are dying? You are basically asking practitioners to operate on mathematical intuition rather than empirical reality.
I see why you think that, but let me give you a different perspective.
Go ahead.
Think of it like a suspension bridge. If you want to know if that bridge is going to collapse, you don't just stand there and count the volume of traffic flowing over it.
Obviously not.
Right, because the cars are the lagging variables. To understand the structural integrity, you have to measure the tension, the load distribution, and the resonance between the cables. Those are the relationships.
Okay.
And the grammar provides specific early warning signals for these relationships. We look for things like a loss of synchronization or critical slowing down.
Critical slowing down, yeah.
Right, which is an increase in the time it takes a system to recover from a tiny shock. Look at economics. If a central bank has to constantly inject billions in liquidity just to keep markets stable, the variable of the stock market looks totally fine.
On paper.
Right, but the relationship between liquidity and market function is screaming that the system's margin is exhausted. We can absolutely observe these relational shifts if we possess the grammar to look for them.
Okay, but a suspension bridge is engineered. I mean, it was built using the exact physics and mathematics you're trying to retroactively apply to organic systems.
It's all structure, though.
But you can measure the tension of a steel cable, because steel behaves predictably. A human immune system or a global supply chain wasn't engineered by an architect. They evolved through chaotic, non-linear imperatives. Biological systems under stress do completely irrational things.
Which is exactly why we need a mathematics capable of handling non-linear, context-dependent complexity.
By using theoretical geometry?
Yes, this is precisely why the text moves away from standard math. We have to talk about why the framework introduces quaternion and octonions. Standard math is commutative. A plus B equals B plus A.
Right.
3 times 4 is the same as 4 times 3. The order doesn't matter. But in the reality of survival, order fundamentally dictates the outcome.
You're referring to the clinical sequencing example.
Exactly. If a patient is in septic shock, administering intravenous fluids before vasopressors stabilizes them. You fill the blood vessels with fluid, and then you use the vasopressors to squeeze the vessels and create pressure.
Yes, standard protocol.
But if you reverse the order, if you administer vasopressors to squeeze the vessels before you fill them with fluid, the outcome is catastrophic. The exact same two interventions, but the sequence dictates survival or death.
Right.
Standard commutative math cannot represent this reality. But quaternions, which were originally invented to calculate three-dimensional spatial rotations in physics, they are non-commutative. In a quaternion, A times B does not equal B times A.
So it tracks the sequence?
The math tracks the sequence. We are using the algebra of 3D space to map the sequential reality of medical intervention.
That's a compelling argument. But have you considered whether we actually need exceptional 3D spatial algebra to tell us that?
Well, we need a formalized system.
I acknowledge entirely that order matters. But a doctor knows that fluids go before vasopressors because they understand human physiology, blood volume, and vascular resistance.
Sure, but...
They learned it through clinical trials, not because they calculated a spatial rotation using quaternions. You are taking a very tangible clinical reality and dressing it up in theoretical physics. And, I mean, it gets even more abstract when the text brings in Octonians to prove that grouping matters.
But we need a mathematical proof for grouping because it changes how we structure treatments. Octonians are non-associative.
Okay.
In standard math, if you group A plus B and then add C, it's the exact same as A plus the group of B plus C. But in biology, grouping changes everything.
Right.
The text points out that treating an infection, let's call that A, affects inflammation B very differently depending on the level of organ support, which is C. The relationship between A and B fundamentally shifts if C is introduced differently. The math proves that variables do not exist in isolation. Their relationships change based on how they are grouped.
Again, empirically obvious to any experienced ecologist or doctor. I mean, a marine biologist knows that a change in ocean temperature affects coral bleaching differently depending on the local fish population.
Yes, but
my question is, does attaching this to Octonians or visual geometric maps like the Fano plane actually provide a usable diagnostic matrix, or does it merely intellectualize common sense? We risk creating this massive barrier to entry where a conservationist feels they need to understand an eight-dimensional mathematical object just to save a reef.
That's an interesting point, though I would definitely frame it differently. It isn't about forcing the marine biologist to become a pure mathematician. It's about translating their domain-specific common sense into a universal syntax.
A universal syntax?
Yeah. Let's break down the Fano plane so we aren't just throwing jargon around. Imagine a simple geometric triangle.
Okay.
Now put a dot in the exact center of that triangle and draw a circle that passes through that center dot and connects to the three sides.
All right, I'm picturing it.
You now have a map with seven distinct points connected by specific lines and circles. That is the Fano plane. It mathematically maps how seven elements interact in perfectly balanced triads.
And the framework maps the seven primitives, constraints, margins, state, and so on, directly onto those seven points?
Precisely. If we map those primitives onto the Fano plane, we finally have a shared language across all sciences. Right now, ecology, medicine, and economics are completely siloed. They each have their own vocabulary for the exact same structural failures. The math of the Fano plane guarantees that we aren't missing a hidden relationship. It proves mathematically that there is a finite, minimal set of interactions required for coherence.
Okay.
When an economist sees a breakdown in the triad of pressure, disturbances, and options, they are looking at the exact same geometric collapse as a biologist observing a failure in a cellular regulatory loop.
Look, I understand the desire for a unified theory of everything. It is incredibly alluring. But let's examine those very triads, because this is where the mathematical ideal clashes violently with biological reality.
How so?
The framework relies heavily on what it calls the seven triadic channels of survival.
Yes, let's make this tangible. One of those channels is the control loop triad. It consists of state, perception, and regulation.
Right.
Think of it exactly like a thermostat in your house. The state is the actual physical temperature of the room. The perception is the thermometer reading that temperature. And the regulation is the air conditioning unit kicking on to cool the room down.
Makes sense.
If a coral reef ecosystem is collapsing, we don't just throw our hands up and say, oh, the environment is degrading. We use this triadic grammar to pinpoint the exact broken link. Is the room getting too hot because the thermometer is broken? A perception failure where the biological network is misinterpreting environmental signals?
Or is the AC broken?
Right. Is the AC unit's motor burned out? A regulation failure where the system perceives the thermal stress but lacks the biological options to adapt? The triads allow us to isolate the specific relational mechanism of the breakdown.
That is a neat, tidy analogy. But real-world biological and social failures do not stay neatly compartmentalized within a single triadic channel, like a household thermostat.
They start there, though.
The text itself acknowledges the phenomenon of cascading failure.
Which the grammar maps.
It tries to map it, but let me give you a visceral example of biological messiness. Think about a patient whose immune system goes into a cytokine storm.
Okay, a massive overreaction.
Right, a massive, irrational overreaction to an infection. The body's perception primitive doesn't just fail, it hallucinates. It sees a threat that isn't there and actively triggers a destructive hyperregulation, which rapidly exhausts the body's margins, which alters the physical state of the organs, which introduces new internal disturbances.
Yes, and or look at an economic crisis. When a financial system crashes, it isn't just a failure of one neat little triangle on the Fano plane. Pressure versus possibility degrades at the exact same millisecond as governance. The boundaries of your perfect geometric triangles dissolve instantly in the face of true chaos.
I don't think they dissolve.
My pushback is that trying to map a catastrophic, multidimensional cascade onto specific, symmetrical, geometric channels might lead to dangerous, diagnostic tunnel vision. You might be busy trying to fix a, you know, perception failure while the entire holistic network collapses around you.
I'm not convinced by that line of reasoning, because identifying the origin of the cascade is the exact purpose of the triadic channels.
But cascades?
Yes. Cascades are overwhelming. Yes, they are incredibly messy and loud, but they start somewhere. They have a relational origin point.
Sometimes.
Let's go back to the thermostat analogy. When the AC unit runs continuously until the motor completely burns out and catches fire, that is a catastrophic margin exhaustion. But the origin of that fire was the broken thermometer, a perception failure.
Right. You know, linear mechanical system.
Even in complex systems. A SIG economy is collapsing because its underlying options are completely depleted, but the government steps in and merely tries to alter perception by changing how they report inflation metrics, for example. The intervention targets the wrong relationship. It actually accelerates the failure.
Okay, I see that.
The geometric grammar ensures we don't miss the root relational cause just because the downstream effects are noisy.
But you are assuming the system has a singular identifiable origin point that perfectly maps to a node on your geometry. In complex adaptive systems, causality is often circular, not sequential.
They can be both.
A causes B, which causes C, which amplifies A. By the time a tipping point is reached, the degradation is entirely systemic. Applying an exceptional Lie group like EA to a collapsing currency implies a level of closure and pristine boundaries that simply do not exist in open systems.
For the listener, E8 is an incredibly complex 8-dimensional mathematical lattice that maps perfect symmetry.
Exactly. It is a structure of perfect closed symmetry. It has no external degrees of freedom. Living systems bleed into their environments. They are wildly unpredictable. They swap energy and information with the outside world constantly.
Sure.
The exceptional Lie groups represent a mathematical ideal. It is a beautiful lattice, but it is not a biological reality.
But the text anticipates this exactly. E8 is presented as an idealized closure, a theoretical maximum of coherence. It serves as the ultimate benchmark. We don't expect a living, breathing system to be a perfect frozen E8 crystal.
Then why use it?
We measure a system's viability by how well it maintains its invariance relative to that idealized state. It is a geometry of coherence, a way to measure deviation from perfect health. If we just throw up our hands and accept that systems are messy and circular, we resign ourselves to being perpetually reactive.
I'm not saying we should be reactive.
But we sit around waiting for the lagging variables to crash, and then we do post-mortems on why the patient died or why the market collapsed. The grammar of constraints, margins, state, disturbances, perception, regulation, and options gives us the actual algebraic operations to track the trajectory of a system before it hits the boundary of failure.
I am not advocating for resignation, nor am I defending our reliance on lagging variables. I am advocating for intellectual humility.
Okay.
When we map biological and social messiness onto elegant mathematics, we face the immense danger of confirmation bias. A beautiful theory makes you see patterns that aren't there, or it forces you to ignore critical anomalies simply because they don't fit neatly into your non-associative equations.
Well, as we draw this discussion to a close, my position remains that clinging to variable-based monitoring guarantees we will continue to be completely blindsided by sudden, catastrophic systemic failures.
Even with its flaws, yes.
Yes. Translating relational coherence into a non-associative geometric grammar like the Fano plane is intellectually demanding. It requires a fundamental shift in how we perceive reality, moving from looking at individual parts to mapping the space and sequence between them.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a vital, necessary evolution. We can no longer afford to monitor the exhaust of a system and pretend we are monitoring its engine. The viability grammar finally gives us a proactive, universal language to map survival, stability, and failure across every single discipline.
And to summarize my stance, I maintain that while the critique of lagging indicators is flawless, the proposed cure carries its own significant risks. We must not confuse a profound mathematical metaphor with a literal diagnostic tool.
Right.
Exceptional geometry provides a fascinating, deeply structured lens through which to view relationships, but it cannot fully tame or parameterize the unpredictable, path-dependent nature of complex networks. We need better relational monitoring, absolutely, but we must remember that the map, no matter how mathematically perfect, is not the territory.
It is a delicate balance between abstraction and application. What is undeniable, though, is the profound necessity of looking beyond isolated data points to the hidden relationships that actually sustain life, structure, and society.
Agreed. It demands that we ask fundamentally different questions about the systems we rely on every day.
We invite you to look closely at the systems in your own field. Whether you are working in finance, ecological conservation, organizational management, or healthcare, look past the metrics you report every quarter.
Look at the relationships.
Exactly. Are you monitoring the true relational coherence of your system? Or are you just staring at the glowing green numbers on the screen, comforted by the illusion of stability? That is something only you and the reality of the system itself can answer.